There we go. And it's cool Thursday.
Cool points are out the window. You got me all twisted up in the game.
Sorry. Welcome to the most mediocre podcast that talks about comics in Pittsburgh. And we really try.
All things comics.
We really try to be very mediocre. I think one time we should just very specifically just try to speak in monotone as much as we can the entire episode. To be like more mediocre.
This book was really good because this book if you was think about great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How bad would that be for you guys, really? So
we're like,
well, as we're waiting for people to get in the chat.
Yep.
Not really a ton of stuff coming up. There's somebody's anniversary sales coming up next month. Cannot remember which store though. I think it's Butler. I think it's in August. But yeah, I mean, other than that, VW PopCon's coming up next month down in Morgantown. It's always been a good show for us. Make sure you guys check it out. Hi, Ron. Other than that, yeah. I do want to give
news. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, in other news, I messed up trimming my beard, so then I just said F it and shaved it all off. So
I was curious about the baby face, but it's okay.
Yeah, that anytime you see me with my face shaved, it's because I messed up trimming my beard, and then I just said, out of frustration, forget it, starting over. So
it's all good. What I was going to say was I want to give a shout-out to Colin down at Pittsburgh Comics because he helped me find some stuff that – weirdly, even though we have six stores, we are out of a couple books I needed for a customer, and he helped me pick them up, and I really appreciate his help. He's awesome.
Colin's a great guy.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Also, just so you guys know, next week I will not be here, so I'll be in Missouri, hanging out in St. Louis, checking out the Arch, listening to some jazz. So, no show next week. Tim, you get a okay. Thursday night off. Boom.
What?
Don't port that hour somewhere else.
I will port it into my PlayStation.
Cool. I'm good with that. So
maybe we'll be able to come back next week and do Facebook live sale because last week we had issues, and then this week there was all kinds of issues at the store, so I stayed later. So, hopefully next week
nothing crazy. It was like computer issues though, like it's yeah. not issues, it's just computer issues.
But so. Just trying to stay there as long as I can to help Tim out since he had two of the newbies, you know.
Yeah,
they're not used to totally completely ringing up people all the time when the system's up, let alone like, you know, doing paper transactions and stuff. So
Yeah, we had an issue with our POS system today, guys, and
yeah,
it happens.
We had two issues. We had the POS system, and then we had issue with our Hellfire Gala. So if you're waiting for a Hellfire Gala, they should be in Monday, because that's a very important book, and you have to read it before you read the Judgment Day book. Kieran Gillen made a post on Twitter and said, you have to read Hellfire Gala before you read that Judgment Day one shot that came out this week.
Fair.
So don't jump into Judgment Day, guys.
What? What if I want to jump into Judgment Day?
You could.
Like Judge Dredd style. Or no, sorry, Terminator style. I want to jump in to Judgment Day, Terminator style.
My wife just comes out, and I'm crouched down, naked in the middle of the living room, making noises like whoom, 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 whoom. And she's like, "What are you doing?"
And then you stand up and go, "Come with me if you want to live."
Yeah, and then she goes, "Eh," and then turns around and goes out to the kitchen.
Pretty much. That's pretty much my life too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we should probably talk about some comics. So we're gonna talk about comics, and then we're gonna talk about we're gonna do a full spoiler filled Thor, since we didn't do spoilers last time. And then we're going to talk about the Ms. Marvel finale as well. So comics first, then Thor, then Ms. Marvel. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen it, is phenomenal. It's a game changer. It's going to be great.
Yep.
All right. Oh, hold on. Let me make sure I turn your sharing options on. Because sharing is caring.
I don't have screenshots.
At all? Do you even have covers?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
I mean, I could pull up my panels app and pull up the stuff, but yeah. All usually right. I get home and I have like that Listen, hour before.
I'll go first so that you have some time to pull the cover, at least the covers.
Okay. All right. Pull up your first book. I'm still here if my screen goes black.
My first book is Spider-Punk number 3. So I think I didn't read 2 yet. And I jumped over this by accident, but it was still good. Still made sense. I really dig this book. So it starts off with Captain Anarchy, Riri Williams, and Spider-Punk in the Spider-Punk van, being chased after by the Marauders, who are Sunfire, Daken, and what's the other one? Husk? Not Husk. Is Husk the one that's like the armor, like the green, the gold armor, the orange armor? Is that who I'm thinking of?
You're thinking like, of armor?
Is it just armor? I can't.
Yeah.
Okay.
She should.
Yeah. So they're a motorcycle gang chasing after the van. Oh, and Miss Marvel's also part in the van too with Captain Anarchy, Riri Williams, and Spider-Punk. And they're going to Philadelphia because Philly. Yeah. So in Philly, the van gets hit by a giant bolt of fire from, or ball of fire from Sunspot or. Yeah, Sunspot. And the van breaks down, and it's a very typical punk rock thing of van breaks down. So they're trying to fix it. Riri's like, well, it's going to be a while because I have to replace a bunch of parts. So while they're there, they hear something and they look up, and it's Mattea Murdoch, who is the Daredevil drummer of Philly. And she is blind. She still has the radar sonar style sight that Matt Murdock has. When she uses her drumsticks to make the percussive sounds to use to see that. And she explains how it works, like every Daredevil does. And she explains that she needs help taking care of the Kingpin because he's this club promoter that is basically a giant douchebag to everybody. So Miss Marvel, Daredevil, and Spider-Punk go off to save the day while Captain Anarchy and Riri are stuck fixing the van and playing marbles. So they go and they find Kingpin. They realize that the Marauders are working for Kingpin. So they bounce in. There's an awesome sideways panel of like a bunch of floors of them beating people up in fights. And then there's a Kingpin. I like this Kingpin because he has a beard. He's still bald, but he's got a beard. They have a fight, and it's there's a moment in it where I'm like, wow, that was very like 2000s Daredevil movie scene, which was actually kind of cool. There's a lot of great action scenes in this. There's a couple good quips. They call themselves like a side project of the Daredevils, which is pretty funny. They get back to the van, and they're at this point playing video games on the back of the van in fold-out America chairs. Then they move on to Washington, D.C. So, I really dig this book because I like the art a lot.
Yeah,
the story is a lot of fun. It reminds me of being in bands back in the day. I super enjoy it. It's just a good, fun read. So if you are the kind of person that likes a good, fun read, check it out.
It's very like fast paced. I mean, like there's slow moments, but for the most part, like there's always something going on. And then that last page, as I was trying to get my screenshots, I didn't hear if you talked about that last page, but that last page was pretty cool.
No, I wanted to just say that it was,
leave it for them.
It's leading to a very good, climax of the first arc.
Yeah.
And, I'm really digging it. So, but yeah, I 100% agree. I think the art is fantastic. The story is okay, but there are definitely things in here though. I'll have to try to find it. There was a quote in here. They said something in here and I was just like, oh yeah, yeah. They make a reference to one of my favorite bands, to Bouncing Souls. I just got to find the right one. It's for the end. Oh yeah. Because they were Born to Lose. And there's a thing where it's like DC is within spitting distance, and folks, just because we were born to lose doesn't mean we can't win. And and then they sing the spider band in the Spider Van song at the end, which I thought was pretty funny. But Born to Lose is like one of my favorite Bouncing Souls songs. So Dan Hanna, if you're watching, I know you know that song.
I just saw this thing where the director of Gremlins said that he's upset about Grogu, and he thinks Grogu's a shameless ripoff of Gizmo.
I can see it. Saying that, I can see why he said that, but it's not, says the guy that created all the extra Mogwais and Gremlins for Gremlins 2. I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the Key and Peele sketch about that? Mm-hmm. Like a writer comes in the room and it's the writing table and somebody else comes in. He's like, I was hired to help you guys. He's like, I need ideas. He's like, let's just round table it. And, you know, one guy's like, okay, so like maybe there's a gremlin that like wears glasses and is really good with like computers and it's like kind of brainy. And he's like, you telling me you want to put some kind of like nerdy ass gremlin in my movie that has glasses and is good with technology? He's like, fine, it's in the movie. And then they just go around and they're naming all of those gremlins that were in the Gremlins 2 as a joke and how they got in there. It's pretty funny. So
that is great. I'll check that out.
So my first book is, and I have a screenshot to show later when we talk about Ms. Marvel. So my first book is Daredevil. So after the fallout of Devil's Reign, Matt Murdock's brother Mike was killed, but they pretended that it was Matt that was killed because he's going to go help Elektra with the hand. They're going to form the fist again. So this opens up with Mike Murdock, but it's Matt pretending to be Mike, down at the piers, and he's talking to Wilson Fisk's son, who is essentially the new Kingpin, Butch, who was great friends with Mike. And he, you know, Butch is like, I'm sorry to hear about your brother. And Mike's like, yeah, I mean, it's okay. He's like, just make sure you do a good job. He's like, I'm going to be totally different than my dad. And then Daredevil whips out, you know, his batons and throws them at a guy and then kicks Butch's legs out from under him. And he goes, good, because I'll be watching you. He's like, Mike's dead, I'm Matt. And I thought it was kind of funny that he did that. and Spider-Man jumps in. And then there's this moment where him and Spider-Man are attacking, and basically he's leaving. He's going to be leaving New York City. So the reason he's doing this is because he wants to put some fear in some people so that the city maybe won't just go into, like, you know, total meltdown when he leaves. And then there's a moment when him and Spider-Man, you know, they're up there, and they're just kind of having a talk. And Spider-Man's like, you know, I wish I could tell you who I was, because you shared a lot with me. He's like, but he's like, I can't, because I still have a secret to maintain. And he turns to Spider-Man and he goes, well, he's like, you always were a good friend to Daredevil. And he's like, and, you know, Matt's not gone. He's like, I'm Matt. He reveals it back to Spider-Man. And then you see kind of Spider-Man has like this head rush, where now that he's told that, all the memories come flooding back to him, of him and Matt. So he kind of leaves Spider-Man with that. I think he felt like he owed Spider-Man something, because they've been close. They had a little bro hug. Cuts to this mountain range that's contested throughout history between Russia and Japan, and is currently occupied by Russia. And Elektra's up there with Stick. Stick's being Stick Dick. He's being a jerk. Elektra beats his ass, but then pulls back, and he's like, you know, you're as weak as Matt. Essentially, they're setting up their base for the fist. And she tells him, you know, that this is how it's going to be. And he's like, you know, he doesn't believe in Matt's ways. And if you've seen the TV shows and stuff, that's true to his character. So kind of a little setup to what's going on. So Matt's leaving. But the whole time the book's going on, there's a page in the beginning, one in the middle, and one in the end, where somebody is talking to him. And in like kind of a Tom King fashion, they have these panels where he's like, it looks like he's being interviewed. So somebody's questioning him, and he's got this gigantic beard growing out of his mask, but you don't really find out who yet. So he might be held captive. Obviously something's going to go down with him and the Punisher, who have always been kind of like on opposite sides to begin with, but now they definitely are, because Matt's with the fist and the Punisher is running the hand. So I think that's all going to make for a really fun story. It's Chip Zdarsky. He wrote awesome Batman last week, and he wrote awesome Daredevil this week. So,
bitchin'.
Yep, people should be reading this book. They should be reading this, and they should be reading his Batman.
You should also be reading Captain Marvel.
It's, yeah, pretty good. It's been good since issue one.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the most consistent Marvel books.
And it's like consistently like referencing itself, which is good, because it's kind of keeping itself in its own universe.
Yeah.
So this is kind of interesting, because like, so Binary has basically been like split from Carol. And then Carol is now on trial with a tribunal of magic users, which include Agatha Harkness as the justice, arbiter of justice in the tribunal. Saitana, Alaric, Brother Voodoo, Ileana Rasputin. And it's because Enchantress's son was stripped of his magic, and Wanda Maximoff is acting as her advocate, even though Agatha won't let Wanda speak to her. So it's kind of interesting, because they basically are like, no, we know what you did, but this is just whether or not you can stay being, basically like if you're worth being around, or if we should just replace you magically in the world, which I thought was a very interesting concept as to why they would split Binary like that and do that. So they kind of send her off into this other world where she doesn't really remember who she is, but she's kind of like a... She kind of reminds me of Cloud from Final Fantasy in these couple scenes, because there's like a giant... She has like this giant stupid sword, and she's like slaying a dragon, but she's in like a bomber jacket and jeans. So it's very Final Fantasy to me, which I thought was cool. So that's where we leave Carol. And then it cuts. The other half of the book is Binary and Spider-Woman, where Spider-Woman's getting ready to eat what looks like a DiBella's sub. for lack of a better term. It looks so good. Even me looking at this drawing of it, I can guarantee this dude ordered DiBella's, sat there, looked at it, and made this picture of this sub. So Jessica runs out, grabs Binary. Binary obviously talks kind of like a infant robot. At least that's how I always put it. Steals her sub, tries to figure out why Binary's there and Carol's not, and why Binary is there at all. And Binary keeps changing different forms. So she goes from being Carol and like dress down Carol to regular Binary to Captain Marvel Carol. And then all of a sudden a bunch of zombies crash through the window. They fight off the zombies, which was actually a really good fight scene. And then L'Oreal shows up at the end and basically grabs Binary and is like, "Where's my sister, biatch?" So it moved very quickly. There's a lot of action scenes, which is cool. And I just like have loved this book since issue one. There's really not a lot of bad in it. So
I think the only thing bad is the fact that it does reference itself, like what you were saying, is that it doesn't make it as easy to just jump right into. But that's also a good thing, because it has not had a bad issue to me.
It drug a little bit around issue like 15, if I remember right, but it picked
that
right
was
back
right
up
before they got into that story with Vox Supreme, I think was around. But like you go back to the first issue where like they're stuck in that world with that guy, that chauvinist guy, who's like a total asshole, and they have to fight him and they can't beat him. And Rogue's like, you know, I probably could, but I need to borrow your powers. And like that whole moment where they have to like basically have that talk that they never want to have. They've always just kind of been like, okay, we're okay with each other, but like not really. And then they had to break that ground quickly, because she's basically asking to siphon off her powers again. And that's what put her in a coma. So yeah, it's been a fantastic series. There's a lot of good character building in there for a lot of different characters. So
yeah, I really thought it was very, very good. I've loved Carol since, holy shit,
since before it was cool to love Carol.
What? No, it was before Kelly Sue DeConnick. It was like the Terry Dodson cover stuff, like when she was in the black swimsuit, like that era.
Yeah,
that's the Carol I started falling in love with. But I also remember the X-Men episode where she was there and Rogue stole her powers, because it was like Rogue's backstory episode.
Yeah.
And I don't think they ever, I can't remember, did they show her as Binary in that cartoon? So I want to say they did.
I honestly don't remember. Because if they did, I feel like it maybe was later episodes. But it really kind of got off the rails by the time it got to the later episodes. So.
Oh, hold on. Let me see here. Miss Marvel in the animated universe. Nope, just in a Rogue's Tale.
Yeah.
So, But now I kind of make, I just watch that movie or that episode after we're done here, because that's
a lot. Yeah.
So. All right.
Well, here's my second Immortal X-Men number 4.
Oh, look at that cover.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that cover.
He does it with markers, man. That's marker.
Yeah.
I watched him do a cover with this red silk sheets, because he's done it a million times with, like, he's obsessed with doing these. And I watched him do it in marker, and I'm like, you're a jerk. But last issue, the last issue was about Destiny. This one's kind of a split story between stuff that's going on in the X-Men world, but also a little bit of stuff with Emma. You see her kind of like talking about how she stays young by sleeping in her diamond form. Part of the reason she sleeps in her diamond form is to keep people out of her head, because most psychic, telekinetic, whatever users or powered people are most vulnerable in their sleep. And then it shows her kind of getting ready for the gala. She gets to the gala. And at this point, remember, everybody knows that the X-Men can resurrect people. And somebody confronts her, because she was originally the one that worked for Hellfire Trading Company, getting the drugs and the medicine to all the other stores, or to the all the other countries. So somebody comes up and is like, you know, like, can you just like help us with this resurrection? Like, it's like, you've been sending us medicine for cures this whole time. You've had, you know, the way to resurrect people. And she's like, 16 million mutants killed by Sentinels. She goes, we're going to take care of our own people first before we even think about trying to help you out. And I thought that was pretty powerful. She's talking about, you guys sent Sentinels and all kinds of things to kill us. And we're supposed to just help bring you back when we still have 16 million people that we haven't brought back. So I thought that was cool and pretty powerful and a nice reminder, because it's easy to forget that in this world of like, we can bring everybody back. Somebody shows up, spills some lamb's blood on her in protest of it. She goes and changes. And then they kind of cut to a quiet council meeting where she reveals a mental image that she got from Cyclops. And then it's confirmed to be his memory by all the other, you know, people that are like her. And the image reveals what we knew from the last time, which was that Dr. Stasis is actually Mr. Sinister. He says he's claiming to be Nathaniel Essex, and he's the real one, not a clone. And this Sinister, who has a diamond, not a club, is kind of like, wait, what? I don't know what's going on. He's completely shocked by this. And rather than like sit and talk because he can't figure it out, he just jets. And he jets in a really cool way. He made smoke bombs out of Nightcrawler's powers. So he throws him down, and then they teleport him somewhere and gets him out of there. And then when they catch up with him, he takes some pills that he made out of Jamie Madrox's powers that multiplies him. And I think Emma Frost says something to the effect like, he thought he was making it harder on us, but that just gives all of us more targets to punch. He gets to a gate and is confronted by Destiny, and Destiny's like, where are you going? And she kind of gets in his head. And he escapes to his, which I think is on Mars, to his base of operations. And he's kind of like doubting himself and second guessing himself. And he's like, damn it, because she got in my head. Why would she let me leave? If this was the way things were, okay, I'm going to go back. So he goes back. And when he goes back, he's like, look, I don't know what's going on. I kind of panicked. He's like, let's figure this out. And then a beam of light comes down and he's teleported and he's gone. And they don't know where he went to. So it was really interesting. I love all this stuff with Sinister that's coming up. And if you remember, there was a premonition that Destiny had in the third issue. She shows the Judgment Day stuff. And then right after that is all the X-Men with like little diamonds on their foreheads and Sinister sitting on like this diamond throne. So that's obviously the story that's coming up next. And I'm pretty excited for that. So, cause I love Mr. Sinister. He's awesome.
I agree. I also love Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I'm pretty excited for that. I like a good Mr. Sinister story. I think the last good one that I remember was the Matt Fraction one in Uncanny X-Men, where it was like the weird underground city of Mr. Sinister's.
Yeah.
It was like all the clones. It was awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think we're on the Thor now.
Well, I also forgot there was the Boys finale.
Oh, okay.
Did you see it?
I don't watch it. I don't like it. I watched the first season. I don't like it's like for me, I just like that's the exact reason I read superhero comics is to escape that kind of stuff. So I understand why people like it and I'm sure it's good, but it's just not one I like to watch.
We won't talk about it ad nauseum then. I will just say that it was very enjoyable. And if you are a fan of the Boys comics, the show in my opinion is starting to finally feel really like the books. I think it's good. All right, now it is spoiler alert time.
Yeah, so get out.
Bye Ron.
If you don't want to have it spoiled, if you don't care.
No, it's fine.
Yeah,
not really, Ron. So you can stay. We still live.
You got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Spoiler review.
Hold on one second. I just want to do one.
While you're doing that, I will say my out of 10, I give it a 7. That was my quick.
Whoa, hold on. That's way louder than I thought it would be.
All right. It sounds great. yes.
Wait, I gotta find it. There it was. Hold on, wait for it. Oh, yes. The goats.
The goats. What's your out of 10?
I give it a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
I liked it a little better than Ragnarok.
Ragnarok that much?
Yeah, I did not like Ragnarok. Like, the parts I liked of Ragnarok were all the things that weren't about Thor.
Yeah, I'd probably give Ragnarok negative if I could give it negative. That's how much I hate Ragnarok.
I gave it probably 4.5 out of 10. Mm-hmm. But I really have a problem with jokey Thor. Like, to me, the jokey guy was always Hercules. Thor was always the regal guy. But what I liked about this movie was I liked everything about Christian Bale. I actually really liked Natalie Portman. I thought it needed a little more Valkyrie.
It needed a lot more. That,
yeah. And other than that, I it needed a little less Korg, and I thought it was good. So,
yeah, you know what? When, and I'm just kind of jumping ahead here real quick. But when Zeus throws his lightning bolt and takes Korg out, I was like ecstatic.
Yeah, I was as me too.
I was as happy about that as I was when Captain America got the hammer in Endgame. That's how excited I was. I was like, yes, no more stupid Korg. We're finally going to get serious. And then they're like, oh, his face survived. And I'm like, and I hate you again. So
I was like, holy crap, I can't believe they killed him. Never mind.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff with the Guardians at the beginning, it felt like an afterthought, or like maybe there was plans for more there. And then they just kind of scrapped it. That's
how I felt.
And maybe that was always the plan, but that was the feel it had.
It felt like they just shit canned them. Like it was very out of place. It didn't, like, I was like, this didn't even need to be in there at all.
Yeah.
Like,
I was, even, Quill, like, I was like, he looked odd. He had, his beard was a lot more rugged. I was like, this, it doesn't even feel like him, you know?
Yeah.
So there was that. Then they get the goats.
And they're
awesome. And everybody loves the goats. The goats are awesome.
Oh, no. There are definitely people that hated the goats, but I love the goats.
I mean, I like the goats, but I'm also like, I guess my problem with the goats is they kind of roll into my problem with his films, his Marvel films, and that's he just can't stop punctuating serious moments with a laugh. And not every moment needs to be have a laugh at the end to bring the tone down. Sometimes it can just stay serious and make you feel that, make you feel what that character's feeling until later on. And then you can feel that triumph with that character. But if you laugh it off every time, then, you know,
it's not special. I also feel that, like, I also don't get us wrong. Like, we also enjoy, like, we don't want the movie to be 100% serious and not have any humor. It just needs a good balance. And when you do balance it, the thing to me was it didn't feel like there was a good transition between humor moment and then serious moment and then humor moment and then serious moment. It was just like there was no middle ground. It was like one or the other the whole time. I'm wondering if because of Jane Foster, of the Natalie Portman coming back, that idea came in. I'm wondering if that is what scrapped the Guardians of the Galaxy part.
It's possible. Because that's how
it felt to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I think that you can. So, for as much as I hear people complaining, as much as I hear people complaining about Multiverse of Madness, didn't like it, you can't deny that it is Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
The whole movie feels like Doctor Strange. There's nothing in that movie that makes me feel like they abandoned that character and what that character is. I can't say the same for Ragnarok and for this Thor movie. I can't, because Thor doesn't feel like Thor. The only time that this movie feels like it's a Thor movie and I'm getting the Thor that I want is when Gore is in the scene, because they're trying to make it seem a little darker. You know, I thought everything Christian Bale did in this movie was great. I like that Natalie Portman came in and they didn't just go, here's the hammer, now you're invincible. Like, she still was able to be vulnerable. She still had decisions to make that were consequences, you know, to her as a person. She, you know, and I thought that that was great, because they could have just been like, you have a hammer now and you're badass and there's nothing can stop you. So I thought that that was all awesome.
I also just thought they did a good job of adapting both her story as Thor and Gore's storyline into the MCU in the way they did it. I thought they adapted them well.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, overall, like, it was, I give it a 7, but I really just hope Taika Waititi's done making Marvel movies.
I doubt it.
I doubt it too. Maybe he'll make the next Thor movie. You know,
if there is cool another Thor movie.
Cool seeing Hercules.
Yeah. If there's a, well, if he does a Hercules movie and Hercules is the funny guy like he made Thor, that would make way more sense. And I'd be okay with it. It's just ever since they've let Helmsworth be more jokey, it's just been I've not enjoyed Thor as much as a character in any of the films.
Yeah.
As much. And you can, I rewatched it a couple, like during shutdown, I think. I rewatched all of it. And you can watch the progression in every movie where he gets lighter and lighter hearted.
Yeah.
But Thor 1 and Avengers are still my favorite versions of Thor that we got.
So. Yeah. Trying to think what else I wanted to say.
Also, that movie has a 68% critic score and a 79% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think that's the thing that I...
As I say, I don't usually agree with Rotten Tomatoes, but that's pretty close.
Yeah. That's one of the things that bothered me about Party Thor and What If, because everything in What If was like so much different than what everybody else was. And Party Thor felt way too close to the Thor that we got in Ragnarok in this movie. Now, obviously, he was completely ignoring like all of his responsibilities. So they had that wasn't the same. But other than that, like, you know. So.
Yep.
7 out of 10. All right.
All in all, I enjoyed it. Tim enjoyed it. Go see
it. Yeah, it's worth going to see.
I'm really not going to complain, really, because like we're getting nerd content. I don't care.
Oh yeah,
like I'm going to enjoy it. It's just how
much
as
it keeps coming in. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. All right. So now let's talk about Ms. Marvel, which so as a series has a 98% critic score.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes. It is the highest rated Marvel Cinematic Universe property score by the critics. It's got an 80% by audience, which is the only one that was higher than that, I think, was No Way Home, I think.
Yeah. And that's probably the audience score would probably be higher if you took out all the racist idiots that are just going on and making stupid comments, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, well, I thought you were gonna say the No Way Home one would be lower if it wasn't for all the nostalgia fans, like the ones who didn't care about anything but the nostalgia parts.
I mean, it probably would have been lower, but I still think it would be higher. That was a great movie. So
So it looked like we were right. Like the episode 5 was the calm before the storm, like the, hey, we're going to give you a week to really catch up on everything and kind of give you like a softball episode, cause we're going to bring a fucking freight train in for the next one. And they did. But the only thing that was weird for this episode for me was that it was hard to figure out who the actual villain was, like for the season. Yeah. Was it Damage Control? Was it the one girl in Damage Control? Was it Carmen? Was it the clandestine? Because it kind of felt like it was a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, I think they were trying to set up multiple things. I could see Carmen coming back and being a villain at some point, either in another season or showing up in the Marvels movie. I feel like that lady that was going against the orders for Damage Control could end up being somebody that works for the government on Sentinels or, you know, something like that. So there's lots of like, it felt like setup, like her final villain that she fought was, you know, they were all setup villains, but she's also still learning to, we're not talking about somebody that's like Captain America or somebody that's, you know, super strong and knows their powers in themselves, you know. So
right,
it makes sense. When she and Biggins, that's one of the things.
When she said it, I was like, yes.
Yes.
I was like, that is cool.
And I think I told my brothers, I was like, it would be really cool if she still didn't Biggin, but it ended up being like armor from X-Men, where it was just like kind of a crystal body and she was inside of it. And that's basically what we got.
Yeah.
And I thought that was awesome. Which
I
was okay
with it. I like that it looked like that better.
They used shots that helped it look good. I think in the movies, they'll do a better job of that. But they, you could tell they were trying not to do too many shots of that, to try and pull that off. So,
right.
But that was amazing. And then, you know, the two big bombshells.
So, well, the first, do you want to do them in order?
I think do them in reverse order.
Okay. Reverse order. Okay. So, I thought this was very cool in both a homage to the comics of Ms. Marvel, of this this Ms. Marvel, and also the Janice Vell Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a really big spoiler, guys. So if you're not done watching it, you should get the hell out. So I'm pretty sure it's just me, you, and Dan at this point. So So she's sitting there, the Nega Band starts glowing, flies into the cabinet or the closet, and out comes Carol Danvers. Now
out comes who?
Boom.
I had the picture ready. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the two parts that are cool. Either A, this is Kamala
100%
transformed. Right, or because there's no band, the way she acts makes me think that. But if it is truly a Nega Band, it could be her turning into actual Captain Marvel form, which is this, which they talk about. Like there's a theory that it just swapped them in space, so wherever she was swapped with Kamala. So it's definitely interesting to think about that. As like I said, like a, Carl's here. Okay. As like the idea of that kind of a Captain Marvel thing. And, I'm good with either, to be honest. I think it's Kamala though. Like that's how it felt to me. So, and if that's true, then maybe this next part that we're going to talk about actually kicked in full on, and she's going to be like she actually is in the comic books. And I'll let you talk about this part.
Which part?
The bigger part that we put on.
Well, I just want to say that I thought for sure, to me, it felt like she just switched bodies with her. I just want to say that because the way she looked around the room was kind of like, okay, I'm getting my bearings. What's going on here? Okay. I kind of remember those things. And then she ran down the steps. I think if it was Captain Marvel, she looks around the room and she's like, where the hell am I? And then she's like, I'm not supposed to be here. And then she probably flies out the window. So her running down the steps is one of the things that's kind of given me like pause that
Like it felt like a, oh no, what did I do?
Yeah. But the big moment was the final scene. She's talking to Bruno, and Bruno's like, you know,
talk about Bruno.
Yeah. You don't talk. We don't talk about Bruno. Man, that would have been a great episode title at some point. So he's like, you know, I thought that there was something different about you, you know, this alien blood or something along those lines. And he goes, but what I'm seeing now is there's some kind of a mutation in your genes. And right when he says it, it goes, And you're just like, what? And then it's just like, okay, so they're basically saying, yes, Inhumans are stupid. We all know that. We screwed up the TV show, so we're not going to do Inhumans. So instead, let's just go on the better side of the aisle, and let's make her a mutant. Wow. And that's kind of what they're doing. So whether that sticks, because, I mean, you're talking about a high school kid. I don't care if he's going to Caltech or not. You're talking about a high school kid that's like, oh, I studied your genes, and this is what I found. So, you know, is he right? We don't know. You'll have to wait and see. But the fact that they said it, they said mutations, and then they play the music, and there's also the rumors of, you know, Mystique and Rogue, one or the other, or maybe both, in the Captain Marvel movie. Yeah, this is exciting. We're finally turning the corner into X-Men. So,
yeah, it's very interesting to see where this is going to go. Now, my one thing, though, is, you know, there's, when they talked, when we had the clandestine talk a couple weeks ago, we talked about how, you know, the whole spiel is like, Adam married the Jinn, them had kids, all the kids went out, they had kids, and so on and so forth. So all of these kids had powers. So do we feel that that's why they tied clandestine in there, to kind of be like, well, here's a reason to say, like, hey, they've been around a hell of a long time. They probably have a lot of kids everywhere.
Yeah,
all the mutants are just people that carry the clandestine gene.
Yeah,
like, and I, you know what, I'd be okay with that if they show Adam clandestine and say, make the bad children of the Adam joke, children of Adam, the Adam
children
of, or show like the immortal Adam clandestine there, like that.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. So
either way, so, there's a lot to be excited about. This show was a really good show. I thought that just on the whole, the episode was good. I didn't think it was super fantastic, but I thought the ending of it with the fight and doing in Biggin, yep, and then the reveal of the X-Men was obviously the strong part. But overall, the series was really, really good. They did a very good job of staying true to that character, which, yep, obviously was pretty easy because she knew a lot about that character. So,
yep. But the Imbigan scene was probably my favorite scene in that.
Yep.
I actually think that was cooler than the post credits and the mutation moment.
Well, because, like, for me, I'm never going to say it's cooler than anything that's X-Men, especially at this point when we're just getting like real geeked up for X-Men. Any little thing, Patrick Stewart in, you know, right, multiverse, and then this is just going to keep getting me excited. I mean, I don't know if you
think
remember,
we're going to get like, do you think we're going to get a McAvoy return and he's going to be him, but in this timeline, like now?
No, I think they're going to go fresh. I think so everything's too. Yeah. I don't know who they would get. We'll have to like do some deep dive into some young actors, and then we can, maybe one week we'll do like our top three choices for who we think should place characters, and like, okay, one week we can do like, here's my top three choices for Xavier, and here's my top three choices for Wolverine.
All right, so in 2 weeks we will do that. We'll figure out, okay, our five, we'll pick five characters. In fact, if you guys want to suggest any characters, you can do that, yeah, on our Facebook. You know, we'll post something in a few minutes here when we're done, and you can pitch your top five people, either your top five people that you want to see play certain characters, or just your list of characters, and then we'll figure out our top five people. Either way, it'll be cool. And then we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Because,
well, let's pick.
While,
the
yes,
characters
I won't be
we
there
want.
Next
let's...
week. I do have 16 hours on the road between. As a round trip to figure some of that out. So,
well, let's pick, let me type these into my phone. Let's pick the five characters that me and you want to cast.
Okay,
because we should agree on the characters. So okay. You could pick yours right. And I could pick hold mine. On, so gonna, obviously gonna, Professor X, okay. Right?
Yeah, hold on. I'm gonna make a list. All right, so Xavier.
Yep.
Jean is probably gonna have to be one. Look, they're going to do Jean. So they would probably do Cyclops.
Storm.
Yeah.
I feel like they pass over like the very beginning of the X-Men and they try to incorporate the first X-Men team with the giant size X-Men team just so you're getting a lot of the favorites, you know?
Yeah, I wish they would just stick with the actual first class though.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea. I'd like to cast Colossus.
Okay.
So I feel like we should have Colossus.
Xavier, Jean, Cyclops, Storm, Colossus.
Yeah, let's do those.
Okay.
The Wolverine one, I feel like we've all heard. I feel like that one's almost set in stone at this point.
Right.
With this.
You're a wizard, Wolverine.
You're a wizard, Logan. Egerton.
You meant the.
No, not the Harry Potter one.
The Daniel.
That's the one I would pick, but it feels too. The Taron Egerton one seems like, I mean, he met with Marvel, and so that one seems like maybe more realistically like that's going to happen. So.
I think we're probably going to see the five that we chose. I think those are going to be the easiest ones for us to see. Holy crap. Did I just lose that? Oh no, there it is. Nope. I did. Nope. It's on there somewhere. Anyway. Yeah, I think those are a solid ones to do. So
okay,
but I guess the other thing would be like, do we want to cast a villain or do we want to wait and do that a different time?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because we could. What I think we're going to see is
all right.
I think we're going to see. In the Fantastic Four movie, I think we will get Inhumans in it. I do. But I think they're going to be the better Inhumans, like better versions of the ones that we saw on the TV show.
I think you have to, because you're already taking Namor, who has a lot of history with the Fantastic Four, and you're moving him over and saying, hey, this is going to be a Black Panther villain. So maybe making the Inhumans some kind of like villain at some point, you know, misunderstood villain to the Fantastic Four wouldn't be a bad thing. Because, you know, you're not just going to jump right into like Galactus and stuff.
I don't know. Okay, I think that he might be where we end up after phase six. Like he'll be like the Thanos of this.
But yeah.
I think we're also going to, I think that's why we'll see the X-Men. That's why we'll see the Fantastic Four. We'll see Inhumans. You know, we're going to get a lot of different stuff, or it's going to end up in Secret Wars, which.
That would be great. I mean, we got Eternity, right? We got Eternity and Thor. So, which I thought, by the way, was perfect. The outline, the silhouette with, you know, so. Getting that makes me feel like we could get the Beyonder. Like, I feel like we could. I feel like there's aspects of all of that, of Secret Wars, of different things that they could pull off. So,
which could be the thing, because you know there's still rumors of a black suit Spider-Man coming.
Yeah.
So maybe that would be it. Now here's the funnier part: if they do the black suit Spider-Man. Are we going to get it in Secret Wars first? Or are we going to get it in the Spider-Man movie first? because at that point we have to have Ron Frenz come in and judge which one was actually first.
That's true. I'm going to give you my, here's my pick for the villain for the X-Men. Okay. Are you ready? Yeah. So thinking about what they're setting up possibly with Captain Marvel, I'm going to say Rogue and Mystique. And that maybe that so brotherhood thinking, without Magneto. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I was thinking the same thing when you said that, yeah. But the brotherhood really wasn't anything without Magneto though.
No, well, okay, so, like, maybe not that brotherhood, but, like, Pyro, Avalanche, Rogue, and Mystique. Yeah, and Blob. Like maybe something like that.
Like them forming as, like, a gang.
Yeah.
Sort of more than
yeah,
the...
not an official... Okay. Like, you saw that in the cartoon, you know? So I think maybe something along those lines, and then Rogue, you know, at the end of the movie would be, you know, Defect or something. To the X-Men, but really playing out her story the way it should be for the first time. That way we can all forget the terrible Rogue that we got in all. Well, I mean, every character in X-Men, the X-Men movies was terrible. Bryan Singer's a jerk and I hate him so much.
But they were good for the time that they were out.
False. And also false.
False. So. Come on, you can't really screw up Cyclops.
There is really one X-Men movie that is good, and that X-Men movie is First Class. That is the we got the best Magneto in First Class, and the first 5 minutes of X2 are good. The first 5 minutes with Nightcrawler. After that, it's just the same movie. And I understand that Magneto's the bad guy in First Class. And I'm like, well, you know, it's the same as all the other ones, but it was the best Magneto. That's why.
I think that X2 was the best. Just because of like the well, it set up like the Phoenix stuff, which was huge for me. It set up like it had a lot of Wolverine background, which I liked. And at the time when I first watched it, like, that's the X-Men I knew the most, right? Like,
yeah.
Everybody knew Wolverine. You loved Wolverine. And then I will definitely say right behind it, right on the heels, is definitely First Class. And I will say for two words, Kevin Bacon.
Oh, he was awesome in that movie.
The worst part of that movie, other two words, January Jones. awful Emma Frost. Awful.
Just that quarter going through Kevin Bacon's skull and how much I love that. So but okay, so we should change it then. I think Professor X, Jean Grey, and Cyclops are given for that. So should pick maybe two villains that we think could be in the movie.
Trying to pull this up here. Okay. So Xavier, Jean, Cyclops, Storm, and Colossus, you don't want to do?
Let's take Storm and Colossus off so we can focus on two potential villains.
Okay. So you want to do Mystique?
I feel very strongly about the Rogue idea. So let's go with Rogue as a villain. A misunderstood kind of.
Okay.
And I maybe like Trask and the Sentinels as a bad guy, or do you just go Magneto and say be done with it? You just go Magneto and
I think we'll see Senator Kelly before anybody else, but
okay.
I don't necessarily consider him like a super, super bad guy.
If you like, team he's
a
him
bad
with,
guy, we're going to see him in a suit. Darn.
If you team him with Henry Gyrick, and that he's being, the strings are being pulled. Or you could go with what was the hate group? Friends of Humanity.
Oh, right. Oh, Carl just put a great one. Mr. Sinister. who would be cool to see.
Mr. Sinister would be absolutely fantastic. I would love to see Mr. Sinister. I just don't think he comes in right away, but they definitely have to go Apocalypse and fix that abomination of a film. Oh,
eventually, yes.
Yeah.
So what if we just did the Beyonder? Or do you want to not do it? Because it's a little more Marvel.
It's a little more universal. Just,
okay.
Let's go Mr. Sinister for the heck of it. Let's just go Mr. Sinister. So, because you know what? Because if they do a good story with, I'm just putting this in my phone real quick. If they do a good story with Jean and Cyclops and set them upright, his obsession with them would make sense to have Sinister. You know, so that might not be a bad idea. And it's a great way to introduce him and slowly build to, you know, over a course of three or four films to your Apocalypse kind of thing. So we'll say Rogue is kind of like the misunderstood villain, and then Mr. Sinister as the big baddie.
I concur. I think that would be
good input, Carl.
I think, you know, because they teased Sinister in pretty much the whole Singer era of stuff, even including the New Mutants movie, which had
they teased him like crazy. They were like, nice cape, idiot. Oh, your face is all white. So, oh, you meant teased like that he was coming. Okay, my bad. Sorry.
Which that New Mutants movie still is very good. People should watch it.
I mean, if you sat through Apocalypse, if you sat through the Phoenix movie, either of them,
I forgot about the second Phoenix movie.
You could definitely give New Mutants a watch and probably appreciate it for what it is.
It was definitely better than both of those movies for sure. It was even better than X3.
Sold on the cast. I thought some of the cast was good. I thought throwing the dude from Stranger Things in there with the dark circles under his eyes, I didn't like that casting, and I didn't like Arya Stark. I didn't like her.
Really?
Yeah, I thought she was a big fan of her. But I think the other ones that Danny, they got that. Sunspot nailed it. Magic killed it. Yep. So,
Slade, if you will.
Yep. Slade. Yeah.
Yeah. Lockheed. Yeah. Like, we finally got Lockheed. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool when we got him. I wish that they would have just left that as like boom, Lockheed, rather than like, it's my stuffed animal for most of the film. Like, you know, but it was, I mean, I get what they were going for. And that thing went through so many reshoots. Like, he might not have even been like, it might have been an afterthought. So,
I really enjoyed it though. I thought it was at least a mid-tier X movie.
Yeah,
so, better than the first Wolverine Origins.
Well,
possibly the second one.
Here's Gambit. You ready for Gambit? Oh wait. He does absolutely almost nothing that reminds you of Gambit and doesn't even have a Southern accent.
Yeah.
That was probably a bigger crime than what they did with Deadpool, if I'm being honest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty fair. That is definitely fair. All right, guys. Well, post your lists and we will check it out. And we will get back to you guys in 2 weeks when I get back from St. Louis. And I'm going to check out some shops while I'm out there too. So if you know a shop in St. Louis and you want me to try to check them out, make sure you tag them. So, all right. I will say goodnight, everybody. And thanks for watching.
Thursday guys. Warriors.